Journalist and cultural critic Kate Bollig is back with another season of Touchstones, Conversations at the Mount, this Thursday, May 25th. Kate will have a conversation with author Ariel Levy about her new work, The Rules Do Not Apply, a memoir. Ariel Levy joined The New Yorker as a staff writer in 2008 and received the National Magazine Award for Essays and Criticism in 2014 for her piece, Thanksgiving in Mongolia. She is the author of the book, Female Chauvinist Pigs, and was a contributing editor at New York for 12 years. Again, the new book is The Rules Do Not Apply, a memoir, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Ariel to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Wonderful to have you. The memoir has been out for a little bit. What is it like? What has it been like for you to go out and talk about it?
You know, the part that I've really liked is that, you know, part of what the book is about is losing a baby at 19 weeks. And I wrote about that experience. And I've heard from lots of women, I mean, hundreds of women, about their own miscarriages, about stillbirths. You know, this is a subject that women seem to be hungry to talk about. But what's been particularly gratifying for me is hearing from old women. I get emails from women in their 80s who tell me that, you know, they had miscarriages in their 20s that, you know, were incredibly isolating and devastating that they never felt able to talk about because it just wasn't something, you know, you could discuss, and that it provides them some kind of comfort to hear a woman now talking about it openly and writing about it openly. So that's been very gratifying.
At what point did you decide that you wanted to write about it openly?
Well, I mean, I didn't really make a decision. I mean, about a year after, I mean, it was a fairly dramatic circumstance. I was after 20 years of being a journalist and reporter, I went to Mongolia to report a story when I was 19 weeks pregnant, and I wasn't worried about it. It was, you know, my doctor had said it was fine to fly up until the third trimester, and the second night I was there, I went into labor in my hotel room and had my son. And for 10 minutes, I was somebody's mother. And that was, you know, the most profound and transformative experience of my life. I mean, it was also the most painful, but before he died, he lived. And that was, you know, a transcendent experience for me. So it didn't occur to me not to write about it. I mean, it was something I felt I had to do. It just, I mean, for one thing, I wanted to announce that this person had existed who only I ever saw. I wanted to, you know, acknowledge his existence. And the piece, Thanksgiving in Mongolia, just kind of fell out of my fingers. I didn't think about it. And we published it at The New Yorker about a year after it happened.
You, with that essay, which is titled Thanksgiving in Mongolia, as you say, so did you ever think about I'm struck by that, wanting to announce that this child was born. You even took a picture, didn't you?
I did take a picture. But, I mean, I think that, you know, what I see, like my friends do, I mean, you know, I think a part of the experience of being a parent is I always see parents gazing at their children, you know, so sort of marveling at the how incredible it is, how stunning it is that they just made this person. And I just see my friends gazing at their kids all the time. And, you know, writing about it was a way of doing that, was a way of gazing on the page and saying, this is what this experience was like, and this is what this person looked like, and this is how it felt to me, you know, to have this very brief experience with motherhood.
So there was the essay, The Rules Do Not Apply, the memoir. Really, it does pick up where that leaves off, of course, but also gives it a backstory and certainly fleshes out the story much more.
After the essay came out, I just felt like I had more to say. You know, it just occurred to me, wow, there's a lot more I want to talk about here. And it's, you know, based on the response from women, which was pretty overwhelming to that essay, it struck me that the things I had to say were things that might be of interest to other women.
I look at the writing this, and it was published a year later. I mean, that's really soon, isn't it? I mean, it's very visceral. It's very real at that moment.
Absolutely.
And obviously, time mixes in. And how does that change you in the way you think about it?
You know, I think that, you know, when that essay was published about a year after I got back, I was still very much living in grief, you know, living in a kind of tunnel of grief and like this right. altered state. And now I'm not. Now it's almost 5 years later, and it's more like grief is something that lives in me. I mean, I don't walk around about to cry all the time anymore, certainly. And it's just not my, I'm not in an altered state anymore. I'm back to being in the regular world. But there'll always be a little spot in my heart for that baby, as well there should be. I mean, I'm his mother. It's appropriate that I should always have a spot for him, you know? And, I mean, that's what I hear. This woman at an event I did in San Francisco raised her hand, and she said, you know, I have three children who lived. I had four babies who died. I'm 77, and I miss every one of them. And it made perfect sense to me. I knew exactly what she meant. And it's just been a powerful thing to be able to talk about this because, you know, I think so much of this stuff around being like a human female animal, this stuff around menstruation, menopause, pregnancy, childbirth, infertility, all of that stuff that happens, you know, that's a major part of the lives of half the human population, but it's not considered an appropriate subject for literature or for discussion. And I think that needs to change.
Why do you think that is the case when it does affect so many lives, and even those who are close to those who went through similar things that you went through?
Because, I mean, first of all, I think that, you know, I think as a writer, I mean, I think there can be a reluctance to write about personal things, especially, you know, these are very... It's like that, you know, they used to like exile women who were menstruating into the red tent. I mean, right. These are all sort of red tent issues that seem sort of unseemly to discuss publicly. And I think, you know, there's a certain amount of shame around all this. And I think that's why people are reluctant to discuss it and to write about it. But it felt important to me.
When you look at the, because in the book you not only write about the miscarriage, but you also write about your marriage, and that was something that you dealt with as well in working with your family and going through a bit of a minefield just in that, right?
Yeah, I lost a lot at once, and within the course of 2 months, I lost my son and my spouse and my house. It was a lot of loss at once, and at first, you know, when I would wake up in the morning, I would just think, this is unacceptable. Like, I do not agree to this life, and I just struggled against it and, you know, was just in agony. And then eventually it sort of became clear to me, you know, whether you accept this or not, this is reality. You have to find a way to make your peace with it and to be grateful for what you do have, you know? And so, I mean, part of what I did is like, you know, when I got back from Mongolia, I had a kind of identity crisis because the switch had flipped in my heart and I had experienced maternal love and a switch had flipped in my body. You know, I was producing milk for a baby who wasn't there. So I really felt in the deepest part of myself like a mother, but of course I had no child. So there was this disconnect. There was this kind of identity crisis. So I had to think, okay, what is intact in my identity? And my identity as a writer was intact. So I worked really hard that year. I mean, before I published Thanksgiving in Mongolia, I just wrote and wrote and wrote lots of stories here at The New Yorker, and sort of used that as a way to ground myself, you know, and to try to figure out, okay, what's still here? What am I still? You know? And so the book is really about a kind of coming of age, like not from child to adult, but from being a kind of fake adult to being a more real adult where you realize that you're not in control. That, you know, unlike on the page where I'm used to having authorial control. I mean, I've been writing for 20 years, you know, I was really liberated from an illusion of control in life by these experiences, by losing so much so fast.
What do you make of when you write about a personal experience, you write from your perspective, and then you share it with the world, and then it is dissected and often put up as some version of feminism, and that people will debate one way or the other. And I'm curious as to how you feel about that, or do you just brush that off and not really think
no,
about it?
No, I mean, it matters to me. I mean, I do think this is feminism. I mean, I think, first of all, I've spent 20 years writing about unconventional women like Diana Nyad, the first person to swim from Cuba to Florida, which she did when she was 64 years old, or Edith Windsor, who was the plaintiff in the Supreme Court case that brought down the Defense of Marriage Act and effectively legalized same-sex marriage in this country. I mean, I've been writing about exceptional, unconventional women, and I think that's a matter of feminism. And I also think telling the truth about these primal animal physical experiences, you know, around the body, I think that's feminism too. So yeah, it does matter to me. I do think this book is a feminist book, and I don't think it's a cautionary tale. Like, it's not intended in any way as a cautionary tale, because the fact of the matter is I have a great life that I'm very grateful for, you know. So it's not like, oh, be careful or you could end up like me. Like, I quite like the life I've been, you know, the hand I've been dealt is a good hand.
Touchstones, Conversations at the Mound starts up again this Thursday, May 25th, with author Ariel Levy discussing her new novel, her new memoir, The Rules Do Not Apply. You can find out more information by going to edithwharton.org, edithwharton.org. Ariel, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. A great pleasure to have you on the program. We look forward to having you in the region.
Thanks so much for having me. I can't wait to come up there.
Thank you. Be well. Bye-bye. Again, the name of the book is The Rules Do Not Apply. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.